All right, so I feel tall up here. I'm going to come down here. Can you put the Thessalonians verse? 2 Thessalonians 3:5. Now may the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patience of Christ. We're going to slow it down tonight. I don't have that many verses. We're just going to see what the Lord, how he leads and everything. But now may the Lord direct your hearts. Everyone say, my heart.
My heart.
Say, Lord, direct my heart.
Lord, direct my heart.
Into the love of God.
And
into the patience of Christ. Now may the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God. What does that mean? And by the way, that is an amazing prayer. Anytime you find a Bible verse, or especially if it's a prayer in the Bible, that is an incredibly powerful prayer to pray. It's inspired by the Holy Spirit. Pray it. Speaking the word out of your mouth from a heart that believes God's word, or even if you're not quite sure how much you believe it, it is crucial. It's powerful. It's life-changing. And tonight we're going to be doing a lot of speaking. And I might have you, we'll see how, you might speak it to your neighbor, and speak it to each other later on. In the Hebrew, and I say Hebrew, that's the Old Testament, that's the God's people from the beginning. It's very different than a lot of American Christianity. They would just meditate on the word and say the same thing. They talk about saying to each other, talking about the faithfulness of God, the book of remembrance. It talks about the book of remembrance, where you would just share your struggles and then, the testimony that comes from that. I was listening to some podcasts and when it deals with the left brain and the right brain, we are kind of a left brain society. We're about intellectual knowledge, and there's nothing wrong with intellectual knowledge. But if that's all we get, then we're feeding. That'd be funny if we had. Well, not funny, but if our left side of our brain was bulging out, and our right side looked, weak, smaller, that would be awkwardly funny. But I think sometimes I know I'm guilty of that. Okay, I'm guilty of that. Like, I can be pensive. I can be analytical. Right, Angel? Angel and I have analytical contests. But like I said, there's nothing wrong with that. But the research shows that there are certain things that transfer information from the left side of your brain to the right side. The right side of your brain's more of the doing, the art, the speaking. When you can have that transfer, that's when it makes a difference in your life. That's when it becomes, that's when we become doers of the word. That's why if you look at it, if you go through level 3 of Academy of Righteousness, the Bible doesn't talk about memorizing the Bible. We don't really have that. Again, not, a bad thing to do. Some of you know me, I could quote a bunch of verses, right? But I could quote a bunch of verses. It doesn't mean that I'm living those verses. It doesn't mean that they're real to me. That's why there's people in that last day, I'm going to get deep right now, but that are going to say, Jesus is going to say to them, why do you call me Lord and you don't do the things that I tell you to do? And so, because those people, and then they're going to argue back. What do they say back? But we prophesied in your name. We taught in your name. We preached and got people saved. We did all these things in your name, because the word of God never comes back void. When I speak the word of God tonight to you, you're receiving it. Your hearts are receptive. I can tell by, your faces. I can tell by the atmosphere that the Spirit of God is moving in people's hearts even right now. And because it's not me, it's God's word. Amen? But that's can be a deception, especially for those of us who teach the word of God. And that's included maybe people who are up on the stage for other reasons. People who have abilities. You know, that we're vessels, but we need to do the same thing that everybody else does, and that is get the word to change the way we think. So this prayer is a powerful prayer because we want our hearts, everyone say hearts, directed into the love of God, the love that God has for us. Amen? Oop, I almost fell. All right, let me see if I can read that. And then why don't you guys get the Song of Solomon. We're going to read from the Song of Solomon tonight. isn't that unique? I don't know the last time that I heard that one. Another translation of that verse says, "Now may the Lord move your hearts into a greater understanding of God's pure love for you and into Christ's steadfast endurance." So close your eyes right now and say, Heavenly Father. And remember, don't listen to people around you. Just you talk to the Father. Say, Heavenly Father. I ask you to move my heart. And say your name right now. Daniel Jimenez. Yes, yeah, okay. Paul Brandt. Into a greater understanding. A fuller understanding. Of God's pure love. Of your pure love, Father. For me, not because of what I do, not because of what I look like, not because of what country I live in, not because of all the reasons that I could find identity, but because you, Father, God of creation, Almighty God, Heavenly Father, my Heavenly Father, delight in me. You take joy in me. Hallelujah. That's a good prayer to pray right there. I just want to just say, just to back up a little bit, I think sometimes we can all be guilty of, and you know, Pastor Drew does an awesome job of just giving us real practical insights into the Word. Amen. On Sundays, and I know he does for people who come on Wednesdays, like everyone here. When the youth are over there, he's giving practical insights. But I want to remind everybody, you know, the main goal for us, the highest purpose, is to know God intimately, and even more than that is to be known by God intimately. You know, back to what I was saying, that heavy part, he doesn't say you never knew me. He says, I never knew you. Did you know that I could put on a front that makes you, I could fool every one of you in that I am more spiritual? And to some degree, I do it, we all do it to some extent. Because who likes to tell their junk to people? Does anybody? You know, I struggle with this, or I've got this habitual sin in my life, or I, you know, whatever, I'm default on my loan, you know what I mean? Like I owe more money from, you know, overdrafts than, you know, the money that comes in every month or whatever. No one likes to say that about themselves. And we all have weaknesses. We all have those things. And so, but the goal for us, for every single child of God, is to be known by him. Because when we bring those to him, when we are known by him, period, for truth. Now, because this is an important reality. The truth about you or me that's not flattering, the weaknesses, the sins, the past that we all have, that is true. But it's not the only truth about you and me. There was this one lady that came up to a pastor that I was listening to, and she said, "You know what? I know that person over there, and I know what they've been doing. And they're trying to fool everybody, and I'm going to call them out. I'm going to expose them. Because you know what? Because I believe in the truth. And this pastor said, well, hold on, sister. So you say you know the truth about that person. Yeah, I know the truth. I've got evidence of what they did. And he says, okay, well, is that the whole truth about them, what you know? He says, and then he looked at her and said, have you done anything wrong? Or have you done anything wrong ever in your life? Is that the whole truth about you? And the answer is, of course, no. It reminds me of the story in John 4 where they're all going to throw stones. And what is Jesus in the wisdom of God, the prophetic wisdom right at that moment? He says, he who was without sin, you throw the first stone. And who's the first person? Who's the first person to walk out of that place? The oldest person. Literally, the Bible says, from the oldest to the youngest, they all put their stones down and they walked out. Because we're aware of our weaknesses. But when we take a front, when we put something out there that's not, because we're trying to cover, even when we take our Bible and say, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, that's a powerful confession, and it is truth. But there needs to be a place and a platform where I can be known for who I am and the things I'm going through, and I can have somebody partner with me to get me out of that situation. Somebody who loves me, somebody who is saying, thank you for sharing that, Paul, but I know, let's move on, because I know that's not you. Because you know what you are? You're a precious child of God. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called. I have been called. Say, I have been called. Child of God. And we know, you know, when John wrote God is love, do you know that that's the last thing? I mean, we see that on Christmas cards. We see that on church signs. And we can get deluded in our mind, God is love. And it can be even, you know, out of balance the other way. And I understand that as I speak on the love of God, the Father's love, and I think I spoke on it last time, and I might speak on it Sunday. I don't know. You know what? Because I know this. I don't walk in it to the extent that I want to, and it's what I study other things and I spend time, but you know what? It's absolutely crucial. Because I know that I spent many years of my Christian life. When I got saved, I picked up a Bible and said, all right, Lord, you chose the right one. You saved the right one. I'm gonna do everything I can to serve you. And you know, and within a year and a half, I was driving across country or halfway across country to Oklahoma and going to Bible college. Against my parents' wishes. They didn't want me to. I gave up a scholarship. For basketball, I have no idea why they wanted me to play basketball. I'm not tall enough. And, you know, and I just said, no, I gave up basketball completely, and I just said, I'm going to serve God because I'm going to show God that he chose the right one. And do you know what? That over the years, God has prophetically, everyone say prophetically. God, I just saw Spider-Man. That's awesome. Or is that Venom? I don't know. Anyway, eyes up here. Prophetically, God has sent people and said, God wants you to know that he loves you. And do you know, at many times he's done that, and in my heart, it was like somebody who hasn't had water for 40 days, and somebody just gave me a nice, cool glass of water. But do you know what? In my head, I was mad. Because I had built up so many barriers, the guy that I had to portray myself to other people, especially in Bible college, you know, was a guy that was past that. Didn't need to hear that anymore. Had an aversion to being needy, to needing things. I'm going to be low maintenance. I'm just going to be the best I can for God. And you know that. That's why I know now the difference, that I am a totally different person now. Like I can sit here on my face, run around the place, I don't care, and sing Reckless Love, and I can cry in the presence of God and worship him and just receive, 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 and I don't have any guilt about it. Because I know that, you know why? Because it pleases him. That's what he wants to do. And let me show you that right now. Song of Songs, or Song of Solomon. I used to not, in seriousness, I used to not read this book because it's like, oh, single people don't read this book. It's talking about breasts and stuff like that. And then, you know what? It's a picture. Is Pastor watching? I don't know. Oh, yes. Oh, hallelujah. The thing is, it's really a picture about Christ and the Father God and the church, or God and the church. And that love, that's what marriage looks like. Marriage is supposed to show, that's why the enemy fights marriages so much. Because it shows Christ in the church. Look at Ephesians 5. He gives all this marriage advice, love, respect, da-da-da-da. And I don't even talk to you about marriage, I'm talking to you about Christ in the church. That's what he says in one of the last verses. So, Song of Solomon 4, verse 7. Can we just put that up there? I want you to look at this now. Now, it's about the Shunammite woman who represents the bride of Christ and the bridegroom. Okay, and it is about love. Okay, and it's awesome. But I want you guys. This is Jesus. This is the Father. This is the Holy Spirit speaking to you. I want you to personalize this and just look at this interaction. This is God speaking to us on an individual basis. Every part of you is so beautiful, my darling. Perfect. And this is not after you've gone through 3 levels of OSL. This is not because you look all nice, you took a shower today, and you came to church. This is you when you go home tonight, or 3 weeks ago, or me when I'm just desperate, I don't know where my faith is, or I just messed up, and I use something else in the world to cope because I didn't know that I was truly loved and known by the Father. And that happens in our society because we left brain things in America. Why are there so many school shootings? Why is there so much infidelity? Why is there so much divorce in a country that's supposed to be a Christian country? Because we can be Christian like Charlemagne declared the Roman Empire Christian, but guess what? That didn't make more Christians. It just made more robots who were just forced to go through the motions. And we all know what it's like. I'm sure you know, and if not, then hang out for a few more weeks in the things of God, and you'll know what it's like to be tempted to fake it, to be tempted to put on the facade, to be tempted to portray yourself to other people in a way that's not actually true at that moment, and to be fake. And religion is a very intoxicating drug. It can be a very intoxicating habitual sin. The sin of religion, the sin of faking, the sin of knowing something, but you don't really walk in it. And that's what we need to hear about, because we're the ones that learn the sin of judging others so that we feel better about ourselves. Ooh, that was a good one. The sin, that is huge, because they will know that you are my disciples by the love you have one for another. Why is it then that I have walked around judging people, thinking less about them than God thinks about them? Because I don't want to do the hard work of growing up and being the man of God that he wants me to be. In that moment, that is a real-time decision that I make all the time. Am I going to see Marcus for the awesome man of God that God's called him to be? Or am I going to put him down so I can feel better about myself like a drug in that moment, in that instant? And it is huge in the church. It's the reason that there's not enough evangelism out there. Why would I tell someone about Jesus when I've been judging them? Or I'm not real with myself? Or I'm not growing up? Is this making any sense? Okay. Every part of you is so beautiful. So my point is that's the real us. He doesn't just say that to the church us. He says that to the real me. You're beautiful, my darling. Perfect is your beauty without flaw within. Now you are ready, my bride, to come with me as we climb the highest peaks together. Look at the faith of God. Look at how our Father sees us. Come with me through the archway of trust. We will look down from the crest of the glistening mounts. Some good poetry in here, Tony. And from the summit of our sublime sanctuary, together we will wage war in the lion's den and the leopard's lair as they watch nightly for their prey. For you reach, look at this. This is God talking to you. You reach into my heart. It's not saying God is reaching into our heart. That's not what he's saying right here. You, Paul Brandt, personalize it. You, Joaquin Lugo, reach into my heart. In the moment that you're feeling the lowest about yourself, you reach into the heart of the Father. With one flash of your eyes, he is undone. Another translation says ravished. Ravish is to overcome with emotion, joy, usually joy and delight. My equal, my bride, you leave me breathless. See, that's why this takes some meditating. This takes some speak it to somebody else. Because right now, I'm not in a frame of mind where being, I can't think of a what it's like to be breathless. I've been breathless in my life, but I'm not right now. I'm not fascinated by something so much that it just takes my breath away. So that's why it's not a microwave Christianity to follow God. We can't just say, oh, I read Song of Solomon, I learned these things. No, because if your left brain learns it only, you just began the journey. You've been invited into this conversation and this fellowship with the Father. I've been invited into it. But if we don't do something with it, then it can make it even worse, amen? We gotta be doers. For you reach into my heart with one flash of your eyes. I am undone by your love, my beloved, my equal. My bride, you leave me breathless. I am overcome by merely a glance from your worshiping eyes. Remember that. Next time you go to worship God, which I'd like to do tonight, but time's flying by. But you know what? Next time you worship, that's what he thinks. That's what you do. Not just thinks. Shouldn't even say that. That's the visceral reaction, emotional reaction to the Father God. We don't know enough, or I don't know enough. I'll say it that way. Maybe you've learned a lot about the emotions of God, but I want to know more about his emotions. Because he has emotions, and that doesn't make him weak. I know we learn, that's why we have to balance this out, because we learn that our emotions don't rule us, and it's true, but our emotions were given by God, and we can't fully know him if we're limited in our ability to connect with him emotionally. For you have stolen my heart. My goodness. Turn to your neighbor and say, do you know that you steal God's heart? Come on. That's a command right now. Say it and then make them say it. Sometimes people won't say it to me. Joel, tell that to me, will you?
You steal God's heart.
Thank you. You have stolen my heart. That's what I'm talking about. You guys enjoyed that. That's good. I am held hostage by your love and by the graces of righteousness shining upon you. How satisfying to me. I'm satisfying to him. Do you see how many phrases are in this that we can personalize? I mean, I'm just getting started with my time in this verse, in this book, to know, because intimacy with God, intimacy with the Father, being known by the Father, receiving his love for me. And don't worry if you're worried about, well, what about evangelism? What about doing the will of God? That comes out of this. We love him because what? He first loved us. Your love is my finest wine, intoxicating and thrilling. And your sweet perfumed praises, so exotic, so pleasing. Go back to that. So a great way to say this is to just say this back to him. Say, Father, I thank you that my, yeah, let's do that. Father, I thank you. That my sweet Perfumed praises are so exotic to you. They're so pleasing to you. I love to please you. I long to please you, Father. I long to have you meet my heart needs so that I can return it and give you exotic love. Please you with my worship. Because worship is just obedience. Amen. Next verse. Your loving words are like the honeycomb to me. Your tongue releases milk and honey. For I find the promised land flowing. Who's talking here? I mean, I in my brain, I keep thinking, oh, yeah, I'm finding the promised land. No. He's finding the promised land in me. I'm so used to focusing on what I need to do that I can forget that I can't even love him unless he loved me first. I can't even, where's Antonio, forgive somebody else until I know that I've been forgiven of him. I won't even value forgiveness. That's why it's not an option, forgiveness. I appreciate your testimony, brother. The fragrance of your worshiping love surrounds you with scented robes of white. My darling bride, my private paradise, fastened to my heart. A secret spring are you that no one else can have. Ooh, I can have a relationship with God that no one else can have. Do you know that nobody can give God all of your heart except for you? Somebody else can have an intimate, amazing, personal relationship with God for them. But I'm either in or I'm out for me. Amen? My bubbling fountain hidden from public view. What a perfect partner to me now that I have you. Angel, you can come on up, brother. Your inward life is now sprouting, bringing forth fruit. Look at this. We bring forth fruit. That's what happens. It's all right, Peter. Let it out, brother. That is a wow. Your inward life, he's talking of me and you, is now sprouting, bringing forth fruit. I want to bring forth more fruit. I do those things that I desired when I first got saved, they haven't gone away. I just want them to be rooted and grounded in the love of God. That's what Ephesians 3 talks about. I want my heart to be directed to him so that I'm not tempted to take praise from it. Because that's shallow. That's taking the Lord's name in vain. That is so, if you've ever been praised or wanted someone to keep talking about you, we all have. That does not scratch the surface compared to when the Father says, you are my beloved, in you I delight, and my favor rests in you. When I'm near you, I smell aromas of the finest spice. Ooh, yeah. For many clusters of my exquisite fruit now grow within your inner garden. Here are the 9. Oh, let's keep going to 14, 15. Your life flows into mine. Doesn't that kind of remind you of John 15? If you abide in me and my word abides in you, you will ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. You know, here's a good verse. My. Just play real quiet, guys, and I'm going to wrap up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Man, when we connect with our emotional longings to just know him, to please him. Look at this. John 15. I love each of you. Just stay where you are up there, guys. I'm just going to read this. I love each of you with the same love that the Father loves me. You must continually let my love nourish your hearts. Oh my goodness, why was that not in my notes? Now it is. Hallelujah. I love each of you with the same love. Close your eyes. I love you with the same love. Don't say it. Receive it. I love you with the same love that the Father loves me. This is Jesus talking to you. You must continually let my love nourish your hearts. Amen. Look up here to the screen. Your life flows into mine, pure as a garden spring. A well of living water springs up from within you, like a mountain brook flowing into my heart. Then may your awakening breath blow. Wow, man, I don't know about you. Do you ever have some morning breath? Woo, that is. He loves my morning breath. Hallelujah. Oh, my goodness. When I wake up and I say, I love you, God. I love you, Jesus. He doesn't say, don't talk to me right now. Go rinse your mouth out with some of that mouthwash. Hallelujah. Some of you laugh like your spouses say that or something, but that's all good. That's a whole other level. I might say that to you, but I'm glad God doesn't say it to any of us. Then may your awakening breath blow upon my life until I am fully yours. Breathe upon me with your spirit wind. Stir up the sweet spice of your life within me. I want to close with this story. This happened this morning. Everyone say this morning. Just to show you that I am not preaching down at anybody, because I'm telling you what. This morning, I was talking to God and I said, Father, I just have this feeling that I keep you at a distance. And I started thinking about my own relationship with my father, and I love my father. He's a great man, but there's nobody perfect, amen? There's no perfect parent except for him, amen? And I started realizing tendencies. I've been studying that lately, tendencies in my family and how I react and just working through these things, because there is a relationship. And the way we view Heavenly Father is usually connected to our relationship with our earthly father. So if it was not, actually, no matter what, if it was good, sometimes the people that had a good relationship or have a harder time disengaging and coming out of agreement and connecting with the Father as their Father, as Father God with their Father. That could be even harder with a good parent. But obviously, when there's trauma, abuse, neglect, you know, harsh words, things, you know, when your kids, things can get in you. And it's not because they tried or did something on purpose, but so I was thinking about that. I said, Father, I feel like I keep you at a distance. I want to be closer. And then I remembered this technique that I had been trained in years ago, and I said, all right, Father, close my eyes. And I said, Father, how do I see you? And almost immediately, he showed me a picture. And when I say this, I'm just telling you, you can do this right now. You can do it tonight. It's not some supernatural, only as the Spirit wills. The Spirit wills to reveal this to you. I saw this ocean area, and then this, you know, like the Cliffs of Insanity and Princess Bride, like, you know, he had to climb up this rocky area really high up there. And then there was a dwelling, like a house, but not a house, just like a four walls. And out of one of the walls was this amazing light emanating towards the ocean. And I started to weep, because that's how I view the Father. I view him up there. Yeah, he's beautiful. Yeah, he's radiant. Yeah, he's good. But he's up there. And it grieved my heart. I can't climb that. I don't know how to get there, and I just started weeping for a couple minutes, and I couldn't even get to the next part. And then I said, Father, what's the lie that I believe about you? And it took a few seconds, and I was looking inside my heart, and he said that I won't be there to meet your need. And I knew what he meant. Because, you know, when God says stuff, he doesn't say it in one dimension. It's not a linear word. He says it with emotion. He says it with smell, whatever he wants to communicate with you. Just check your heart. And I knew what he meant. I knew that need to be accepted, loved, that need for the heart needs. I didn't trust him in that moment. That's why there are times when I get pressure, then I change. I turn into a different person. I get bossy, or I get mad, I get agitated and all that, because I have, all of a sudden, I'm fatherless. I'm an orphan. And I have all this stuff to do and nobody's helping me. And that I've been there. And thank God she's showing me that. So I can stop and go, whoa, 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 that's a lie. That's not true. I am not an orphan. That's why the center of the New Testament is, I have not left you as orphans. That's where it all changed when Jesus said those words. And so then I said, well, that's absolutely makes sense with everything, my upbringing my life. And then I said, Father, what's the truth? And at that point, he didn't say one more word. I just saw a picture. I saw a picture of Father again, I can't do justice with my words, but with so much love and his arms stretched out and just wanting to be there for me. And I was right there at his feet, sitting down, looking that way, looking away, totally oblivious that he was right next to me. In an isolated, painful place that I know I found myself in the past. But the truth is, what I saw in his eyes and what I felt in his heart right in that moment was that he was so wanting to hold me, to be there, to help me, to speak life in me. If you didn't have somebody to speak life, to say, attaboy, attagirl, you know, and I'm not just talking about pat answers, but stuff that speaks into your soul. Some of us need to look in the mirror or find somebody that will speak things that make us uncomfortable maybe in the moment, but it's God's love, it's God's word, because that's what bridges what we know to what we experience in our lives. Amen. Father, we just pray right now for just greater encounter with you and you are love. We pray not for something linear, not for something intellectual. Father, we've got enough. We don't have to go over any more verses. We just need you. We want you. Father, we say this after me. Say, Father, we want to honor you and to please you by allowing our hearts to be directed into your love, to know that you are here for us. We want to honor you, allow you to delight in us, to receive that delight, to receive that joy, to receive that Father blessing in my heart, in our hearts today as a church. Hallelujah. To allow you to meet every need of our hearts.